when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you people are in radio land. You're listening to Blood River Radio. I'm very proud of Blood River Radio. By the way, you're not just here with Eddie Miller. You're here with Matt the Mo Goodwin, my tech man. He's on the job. Ain't you, Matt?
Hello. Hello, Blood River Radio.
Yes, me and Matt up here. Guess where we are, folks? We were up here slap dab in the middle of the Ozark Mountains of northwestern Arkansas. We're just a slingshot throw from Missouri Ozarks, a slingshot. Well, it's probably about 60 miles from the Oklahoma state line. We're in some really wild country. You know, me and Matt are right here where the Antifa was here. We were dead center, epicenter of where the Antifa was here about 3 to 4 weeks ago. And the Christian, what they call this place, Matt?
Christian Revival Center.
Christian Revival. I call it the compound. But anyway, people, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We're on the road, and we're going to do this more often. We got a dynamite show for you tonight. We'll tell you more about it in just a minute. But you know what? We're going to do what we did about 20 minutes ago when Mr. Matt Goodwin, the mole himself, led us in prayer at the Knights National Conference. So he's going to do the same thing again right now. Matt, would you lead us in prayer, son?
Sure. Everybody, let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy today. Father, we do not deserve your mercy and your grace. And the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, may we not forget that. And Father, I pray for my people that you stir them, that they realize that greater men and women than them have died for freedom and for the cause of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, who are we to take that for granted? Who are we to think that we are deserving of anything? Father, may your kingdom constantly assault and assail the gates of hell, and we will be victorious through that name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much, Matt. People, I want you to know that Matt is the one that put this computer stuff together up here in this compound. We were here last year. I'll give you a brief history of me and Matt came up here last year, and we also had Lee Cochran up here last year. He's in really bad health. If you will, pray for Lee. I mean, he's not like he's dying or anything, but he's not as sound as he was last year. He's happy and healthy. He's wished us luck. He's probably listening to the show tonight. We were going to try to get him to call in a little bit. I don't know if we're going to have time. It depends on how many guests we have. The Robs are going to direct the guests, but we have one of the other featured speakers up here was Dr. Michael Hill. He's speaking right now. So sometime before the broadcast is over, Dr. Michael Hill will be here speaking, and select guests that the Robs pick. We're not going to have any idiots on the line, on the phone, that's for sure, because we don't do that. But, you know, I'm just going to say this. I'm so proud of Blood River Radio. I'm so proud of our staff. I know it was, I feel like it was really and truly, it was God's work to get this radio show up. We're doing some things that no other radio shows will do. I don't know of another radio show in the United States of America that will go to, they call this the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. That's what it is, people. It's the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. We're not going to mince any words. We saw some of the greatest, nicest people here, not only last year, but this year, too. The crowd's not quite as big as last year because a lot of the older folks, they're scared to death about the COVID, about the bat soup fever, you know, the kung fu fever, whatever it is. It's all a hoax, I promise you. But we're here, and we're gonna be having you a show, a great show tonight. But I'd like to say this: this is the gospel according to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. If you don't bring people in, no matter how unwashed they are in the eyes of civil society, the quote civil unquote society, if the masses don't like them, if they say, oh, you can't get a Nazi on your show, you can't get a Klansman on your show, well, you know what? Here we here at Blood River, we don't just say we're constitutionalists. We don't mouth it. We obey the Constitution. And is the Constitution perfect? No. And I'll tell you why it's not perfect. I've always had a big problem with the Constitution. I got to wrap this up quick. I tend to get these rabbit trails. But the glaring fault with the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence, which we would only need, all we need is the Declaration of Independence and the Bible, the King James Bible. We're good to go. We don't even need a stinking Constitution. But in fact, we had it. If we obeyed the Constitution, if we obeyed those laws, we the people would have not turned their back on God and the Constitution, we would be in good shape. But I told you the flaw of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, the word Jesus Christ is never mentioned. That's the big flaw. It was mentioned very prominently in the Mayflower Compact before Governor Bradford would ever get them off the Mayflower ship. The people had to agree to go, they had to agree that the United States, the place that they were settling at the time, was a colony, was they were settling by Christians, for Christians, for the greater glory of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's my understanding that every single constitution, every single paper that the original colonies, you know, New York, Virginia, Georgia, Massachusetts, every single one of those constitutions had the name Jesus Christ in there. Well, me and Matt were talking earlier on the way up here, from the very get-go, the ink wouldn't dry on the Constitution, so they started trying to disrupt it. And now I'm going to let Matt tell you some of the reasons, for instance, the Whiskey Rebellion in Western Pennsylvania. Matt, tell the people some of the reasons, some of the ways they started assaulting the Constitution even before the ink was even dry.
Well, like you said, the Whiskey Rebellion, one thing, they immediately started attacking any free men who tried to exercise their freedoms in America. As soon as the Constitution was written, some of the first laws they made were trade laws regarding foreign countries and things like that. The Constitution is very vague in who it is supposed to represent. They don't say Christian white men. They say citizen, slave, and other. Other references are extra-constitutional, outside of the Constitution. But they don't reference who they're referring to, so that's one strong weakness in the Constitution. I want to ask these people in our audience a question. Why is it, as we've gone into this progressive state in America, what they call progression, as we've gotten away from our Christian white heritage and what they built, why have things gotten awful? Our buildings have turned into rubble. Our streets have been cracking up. Weeds are growing up in the middle of the roads. You go to any small town across this country, you'll see plywood boarding up all the buildings. I went through Chicago just recently. I cannot tell you the filth and the scum and the trash that is just rolling around like tumbleweeds in an old Western movie. Okay, let me ask you, if we're so progressed, if we're so in our own snobbish way, calling ourselves progressives, and this is the great American future, then why are we getting so awful? Why are things looking so bad? This is not the city on the hill that America was designed to be. It's because we got away from the people who was designing America. We got away from the actual people who were supposed to create that city on the hill.
The people's God, the people's Jesus Christ.
You tell me, as we've seen less and less and less white authority and power in this country, then why have things gotten worse and worse and worse? If correlation is not causation, I don't know what else you can use to explain that. So please tell me, we've gotten away from our Christian values and we've forsaken our God. And because of that, our people have gone into what we are calling the state of the white situation right now, which is white genocide across the world.
Absolutely. You nailed it, son. You know, we had a truck-driving team today that have gone. They said they've been in just about every single state in the union multiple times. And they gave a duplicate testimony, what Matt the Mole just got through giving you. They said in every single state in the big cities, they look for white people, and where are they? They said there are no white people in the big cities. They said the same thing Matt said. There's just the cities that were once just diamonds, just jewels in the crown of the city on a hill with a light, what was once the greatest nation in the world, that produced 90% of all of its goods, that shipped goods all over the world, were in the black, wasn't in the red. We helped every nation in the world. But now the United States, like Matt said, is the greatest debtor nation in the world. We have the most sickness and disease. We have the most obesity. We have the most, the United States of America is probably one of the most violent countries in the world, just like Matt said, Matt, because we have turned our back on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's exactly why. Don't take our word for it. Go get you a King James Bible and read it from the very, go all the way back to the middle of Genesis and look what happened, especially when Israel was formed as a nation. Look what happened. The stinking Israelites, the stinking Jews, they turned their back on God every single time. They would screw up. God would punish them, send them into slavery, send them to places like Babylon, Egypt. Or they say, oh God, please save us. We'll be good. We'll be nice. This is, a quick paraphrase. They would get back doing pretty good, and it would be 10 years they'd be back worshiping Baal in the poles again. So that's what's wrong with this country, Matt. You're absolutely right. The place is destroyed because we need to return to God. And with that, people, this is our first break. We're going to go start trying to round up some visitors. I don't know why they're not here, but we're going to get some people to come on to speak to you. Be right back, folks.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight. Welcome back, folks. This is Matt. Eddie just stepped out to find us our first guest to come on and talk to you from the Revival Center in the Ozark Mountains. But we're having a great day here. First of all, as many of the audience might know, we are actually on the site, the premise of the Knights Party of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, we're wanting to do something very unique and special for our audience. What we'd like to do is, if you want, we invite our audience to call in, and we're going to let you ask questions to the folks here of the Knights Party of the Ku Klux Klan. If you want to ask them anything, ask them why they joined, ask them what they believe, ask them whatever, we're going to allow you the opportunity. We're going to open up the phones. And just the phones are open anytime, but really we don't always take calls. We don't always have the time to take calls. But today we're going to be very interested to see audience interaction with some of our favorite guests that we're going to show. So, but in the meantime, I want to tell y'all the origins of the Ku Klux Klan. One common mistake or one common misunderstanding that a lot of people don't know is the very name. Ku Klux Klan actually comes from the Greek term kuklos, K-U-K-L-O-S. It meant circle, circle of friends in particular. And it goes back to the old Klan days when if you showed up at a Klan meeting and you didn't have any type of secret code or a secret way to get in, they actually would kill you on the spot because the actual Klan was so important to the survival of the white people of the South. We were being attacked by the federal troops even after the war. After our men laid down their arms, after they surrendered, the federal persecution against our people in the South just started at that point, really. And folks, that's what you need to understand. So the Ku Klux Klan, they stood then in 1865. And it only lasted a couple years, the original Klan, but they stood as a rock solid defense for their people in a time when they could not actually take up official arms and military resistance against an invasion and a tyrannical force against them. So folks, with no further ado, we've got a guest here, a great, wonderful guest. Folks, tell the audience here your name and then introduce yourself.
My name is Vicki Thompson, and I'm with the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Have been for many years. My husband and I are very involved. This is a part of our life, our passion, our heritage, and our future. We refuse to sit back and let it be taken from us.
That's amazing. Let me ask you, you said you've been a part for how many years?
About 20.
20 years,
yeah.
20 years of service. Now, have you always been in this chapter?
Yes. This is the only chapter that I'm interested
in. Amazing.
Yes. I've heard other groups, but this is the one that speaks to me.
Why? Let me ask you that.
Because they have the same heartfelt traditions and beliefs that I have. We want to preserve our race. We want to preserve our families the way the families are supposed to be according to the Lord. Not what people are accepting, but what's real. Our families, raising our white children to represent themselves. Stand up and be who you are. Be strong. Be proud.
Amen. And when we're around here on the site, one beautiful thing we do see is a lot of white kids running around.
That's what it's all about. It's not about the men and the women. It's about the children. That's the future.
Let me ask you this. If you go into any town across America and go downtown, how many young white children do you see running around?
Honestly, none. They're all mixed now. Just to see a white family is very difficult. You come here and that's all you're going to see. But
Amen.
When you're out in the world and you're looking at what society is allowing and what people are saying, that's okay. It's acceptable. It's not. Read the Bible and find out what's acceptable. It didn't write itself.
I was just explaining the hard truth of how the Ku Klux Klan started and what its original purpose was, and I'll admit that it has probably it has turned more into the family focus and all that through
Amen.
The years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it has maintained its core values, though, even from the beginning when it was when it had to be a secret society of people who were protecting their people? Do you think they've kept those core values even through the years?
The core values will never change. It's where it's where our heart and soul is. Now, some people, they have to be silent. They have to be in the, you know, in the background because professionally or whatever, it may harm them because people have the wrong idea. They don't know what we're all about. They assume and they think we're, you know, out lynching black people just for the fun of it or whatever, and then we burn the cross. We don't burn the cross. We light the cross in faith and love. In prayer to our Lord, Jesus Christ, forgiving us all this stuff. It's right in front of your eyes. If you open them and choose to look past all the ugliness, you'll see the beauty. You just have to fight for it.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. And one final question for me anyway.
Yes.
What is a verse in the scriptures that you think sums up these core values?
Well, obviously John 3:16 is the basis of the whole thing. But you've got some verses in there that speak to people differently. Everybody's got one thing that they get out of there, and it just sticks with them, and it's something that builds them up and keeps them moving forward. And it's different for everyone. Nobody's the same. We didn't expect that.
That's a good, great answer. All right.
Thank you.
We have another guest here that we'd like to introduce to our audience.
Thank you so much.
Well, as she's getting ready, we'll just introduce her. And so thank you for coming on Blood River Radio. What's your name?
My name is Tiffany Doherty.
Tiffany Doherty. Well, we're happy to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And so how long have you been a member?
I've actually only been a member for about 5 years now.
Only 5 years.
Only.
Most Americans can't commit to anything for more than a year. these people, I want to digress just a little bit for our audience. These people are sincerely committed to creating and building out here. And so it's a beautiful complex they've built. They've put a lot of years into it. These people are marching forward. They're not backing up. They're not stopping. They're not halting. They're marching forward. Is that your impression, too?
Absolutely. And we need to move forward. There's too much in this world that is just going the wrong direction.
I'd say that. What do you see out on the world that is going wrong?
Everything. From government to all of the issues with all of the racial everything lately, it has just gone south. And not in the South. If more people had the values of a lot of the people that lived in the South, it would be a whole lot better place.
I'm glad you said that. One of the earliest or one of the strongest cases for why I believe my values is because I recognize that a lot of these things that our people have started to believe and adopt have come out of states like New York and California, but like especially like New York and some other corrupt states, and where their politicians have been corrupt for years. They've allowed this stuff to take over like a fungus in their...
Absolutely. I don't like to admit it most days, but I was born and raised in California, and it is a completely different place, and I would much rather be here where I'm at now.
Born and raised in California, and you still identify as a Southerner now.
I do. I've been out here for almost 8 years. I claim it, but I definitely wasn't born here.
What do you think creates Western civilization?
You know, I think that a lot of it had to do with just bringing too many minorities in from different places, and it just...
That's what hurt Westerns. What created it?
Created it? Trying to get away from everything that they didn't want and creating a place that they did, mostly. The English coming in and just straight up trying to change the place for the better, and then, unfortunately, over time, it kind of went the other direction again, but...
So... When you're around here and the focus is on heavily on families and faith, what can you tell me about faith and family?
Well, they should be hand in hand at all times. I am actually the proud mother of 3 children. And
Amen.
They definitely need a little faith in their life, which is why we've been here a lot more lately, especially with everything going on in the world. And, I mean, they need it. You need a structure. And like she told us here a little bit ago, Vicky did, I mean, the kids are the future. And they need to know it.
You women are great here. Do y'all stand up with your husbands and create families? And we support you at Blood River Radio 100%. Do we have another guest? Okay, we'll be right back with another guest shortly. But in the meantime, I want our audience to know that the original Klan only lasted about 2 years, and then we went through a period of darkness where Nathan Bedford Forrest. The great general. Well, folks, there's the music. We're going to take a quick break and hear some series of messages from our sponsors. We'll be back. Stay tuned. And thank you for joining us on Blood River Radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Ahead of Labor Day, unions representing millions across several working class sectors are threatening to strike in support of the Black Lives Matter movement amid calls for concrete measures that address racial injustice. Labor leaders who represent teachers, auto workers, truck drivers, and clerical staff, among others, signaled on Friday that they're willing to escalate the protest to force local and federal lawmakers to take action on police reforms and what they call systematic racism. The National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat warning for parts of California, Arizona, and Nevada over this Labor Day weekend. Weather Nation's Andrew Diemer on why it's been so hot in Phoenix, Arizona.
You know, we've just had this pattern that's been pretty consistent throughout the whole summer. It's just kept the heat baked over us.
Some areas could see 120 degrees. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for health care right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has extended their special offer, and a lot of people have taken advantage of it. Simply apply by September 30th, and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
President Trump says he never called fallen U.S. soldiers losers or suckers. The president calling the report from The Atlantic a hoax and another attempt to hurt him before the election. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in France with the president.
Haven't read the whole piece. But if I'm tracking correctly, I think I was on that trip as well. But what I can say for sure is I've never heard. I've been with this president now for coming on 4 years. I've never heard the president use the language that assertedly is said in that article about him calling the military suckers and losers. I've never seen that in Gene. Just the contrary. He has always had the deepest respect. I'm a veteran, too. I care deeply about these young men and women. I've watched the president honor them in every situation that I've been in with him as well.
Pope Francis is leaving Rome for the first time since the pandemic started. He's scheduled to visit a northern Italian town on October 3rd. News reports say the Pope will talk about how the pandemic has revealed how vulnerable the world really is. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we don't believe in luck here. We believe in the divine intervention of God Almighty. And with that, the reason we're so fortunate today, because we're right here in the hills of the Ozarks, right slap dab in the middle of the Ozarks of northwestern Arkansas. As we said previously at the beginning of the show, it is September 5th. It's Labor Day weekend in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2020. And we are, like we said earlier, we are at the National Conference of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. And we have the head man himself. We have Pastor Thomas Robbone. We have Pastor Thomas Robbone. He's the man that's, I don't know how long he's been here, but we're getting ready to find out. Welcome to our show, Pastor Thomas Rob. What a great. Y'all hear anything? Okay. Okay. Well, Pastor's not hearing anything right now. Let's see. Okay. Hang one second, Pat. Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll get Matt to work on this technical problem. I'll carry the show until we get this little tech problem where the pastor said he's not hearing anything. So we'll get this thing fixed up. Like I said earlier, we are here in the middle of the Ozark Mountains. And, you know, we are at the National Conference of the Ku Klux Klan. They have this every year. They induct members. And I'm going to tell you what, I've seen some of the nicest people in the world. I've said this earlier. I said the same thing last year. the nicest people in the world. I would say the salt of the salt of the earth. And like I said earlier, you know, if you can't, we're the only radio station that I know of the United States that we will have Klansmen on, we have Nazis, and we've even put out a disclaimer. We've told Satan himself, if Satan was to come on our show and be interviewed, we just don't go by the name, by the term constitutionalist. We are constitutionalists. We don't just talk about it. We believe in the Constitution, and we live it. That's why we don't bar anybody. And I'm going to tell you something else, people. This is my belief, just my belief only. If you admit someone from coming from your show, if you admit that this really lying by omission, if you dodge the truth, instead of me listening and seeing what the ADL is saying about the Klan or about the Nazis, we don't want that. We know what they say, but we want to hear what the Klansman says about themselves. And when we're going to switch to another microphone right now, because we have a little trouble with the one that the guest is using, and I'm going to ask him a few questions. And for instance, is Dr. Pastor Rob, how long have you been a member of the Ku Klux Klan? When did you take over?
It is mic working. Okay. We weren't sure. All right, so Mike is live. I am live. Okay. I've been live for many years.
Pastor Rob's mic is live. He's live. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, your question is, when did I join the Klan?
Yes, sir. When did you join the Klan and why?
Because my involvement in the White Nationalist Movement predates the Klan by many years. So the Klan wasn't like my initial step into the White Nationalist Movement. But as I joined the Klan in 1979, I believe it was.
79.
And I've been with the Knights ever since. I have not hopped around from one clan to another clan. I've been very loyal to this organization from the time when David Duke was the national director. And, of course, now I'm the national director. This is like 41 years later since I joined. And so your question, when did I join? 1979.
Why?
Why? That can be a strange answer, okay, to give. But an honest answer can make some people angry. But so
we always go with honesty here, Pastor. Yeah, they get angry
and
tough.
And so I do give honest answers. I joined the Klan because I thought it was the biggest bang for the buck. I was involved in the White Nationalist Movement prior to that. I published my newspaper called The Torch, which I started out as the Message of Old Monthly back in about 1967 or 68. And I joined the Klan because I felt that it had the greatest potential reaching a mass audience. I don't have – I would have joined the Boys the Girl Scouts if I thought I could do the same thing, or a Brownie Troop or any other organization. So my joining the Klan wasn't because I wanted to join the Klan and be a Klansman and wear a robe. That had nothing to do with it. I joined the Klan because I felt it has the best ability to reach the masses of people in the most cost-effective way possible.
And what was your message that you wanted to, deliver to the masses?
The message that I've always had has been White Christian Revival. I felt that we had to bring a message of hope and deliverance, the phrase I've used, to our people. And it's one thing, and I certainly don't critique or criticize or condemn people who have a different approach, because I kind of follow the teaching or philosophy of George Lincoln Rockwell, who said, you know, an orchestra takes many instruments. Or rather, it takes many instruments in an orchestra to perform a beautiful, you know, piece, you know, a beautiful concert. So you need people who play the trumpet, you need people who play the clarinet, you need people who play the drums and the various other saxophone and so on. You need all those people, you need every one of them to produce the musical score you want. You don't produce a beautiful musical score by having everybody being a tuba player, or by everybody being a trumpet player. You need them all. And so the trumpet player can't say to the tuba player, I don't need you. You don't play the music I play. Well, you can't have the clarinet player turn to the drummer and say, I don't need you. You're a drummer. I don't need a drummer. I'm a clarinet player. Clarinets are better than drummers. You don't need that. And so everybody in this white nationalist movement has a part to play. And my part is not so much saying or trying to awaken people. And it's a strange thing to say, I know. Not so much trying to awaken the people what's happening. People are being awakened already, I believe, in many ways by watching what's happening on the news. They turn on Fox News or maybe even CNN or maybe not turning on any news, just having their eyes open and seeing what's happening in our streets, in our schools, what has happened to our families and our children, what has happened to the morality and what's happened to our civilization, you know. So my effort isn't so much to try to awaken people in that regard. But you had a question?
Yes, sir. I was going to say, yes, I agree with you. We can use many, many different ways, like an organ, a piano, a trumpet player. But would you say we all have to play from the same piece of music? For instance, Swanee River, White Christmas. We all have to play. We all have to be playing the same song.
Well, certainly we all have to be playing the same song. I mean, obviously.
Same message, in other words.
Yeah, we have to have the same message. But what is that message? The message is the survival of our people, the 14 words some people call. You know, that is our message. That is our concern, and that's what we're working for. All of us are working for that same thing, you know, that our children have a future, that our children can have a pride of their heritage and pride of their culture and pass that down to their children and their children after them. So my approach, you know, in my mind, is simply the fact that while I am aware that we have to have people, and we do too in our publication, the Crusader and so on, we want to warn people about what's happening, but we also want to say there's hope for us. It is not all doom and gloom. There is hope for our people. And one of the things that I have been saying for many years, kind of my philosophy and the philosophy of our organization, is that while we want to wake people up and people who get involved in the movement, the white nationalist movement or the white resistance, you can call it the white patriotic movement, it doesn't make a difference what you call it. While we want to wake people up and people want to become knowledgeable about the bankers and knowledgeable about international communism and knowledgeable about the Pharisees and knowledgeable about Black Lives Matter, knowledgeable about all those things, I've seen many, many people over the years, hundreds of people over the years who became involved, and then after a while, you don't see them anymore. It's what I understand to be the term of duty, like a serviceman serves 2 years or 4 years or whatever. And then when he leaves the service, it doesn't mean that he's anti-American. It's just he's not on duty anymore. He did it 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, whatever he did. And then he'd go back into civilian life. And so we have people who become involved in the white nationalist movement. And they're very active for a year. Usually I've been over the years, I've judged that the normal lifetime of somebody being an activist in the white nationalist movement is between 3 and 5 years.
Pastor, it looks like we've run out of time for that break. Thank you so much, Pat. Pastor has allowed us to come in this, what I call the control center, and we're very honored. I doubt if very many people other than us, Blood River, have been in here. Pastor, thank you so very much. We're going to a quick break, and then with that, we're going to bring Pastor's son in here, Jason Robb. So hang on, people. We'll be right back. Hold on to your seats.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Welcome back. You're here in the Blood River Radio Shuffle that we like to do sometimes. Live radio, you just have to move and parry with whatever things happen. So, well, I'm back after the stage hook came and grabbed around my neck and yanked me off the stage. But I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad you hang around with us, audience. So, we've got a very special guest here. We got our dear and beloved Jason Rubb. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great.
It's a beautiful day out here in the Ozarks, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's in the mid-80s, and it's been nice and clear skies, and just couldn't ask for a better evening.
Oh, that's great. I can tell that God's really looked on this center this weekend for this event, because it's like not even a raindrop. And, you know, and amid all these hurricanes and everything going on around the country, I mean, not even a raindrop.
Well, it rained about 3 days, and it stopped about Thursday. And since that time, the grass is green, the skies are blue, and it's just a nice day, the nice weekend for white people to come together here and socialize and mingle and get rejuvenated to go back to their communities to help spread this wonderful message that we like to say, White Christian Revival. And we always enjoy this time of year that we can just gather everybody and meet new people and see old faces. We love it.
It is. It is. It's been a great being here. We thank y'all for allowing us to come and broadcast out and just share with the world what y'all have built here, honestly. We'll get to that in just a second.
Sure.
But right before I was going into the break last time, I was explaining to the audience about the original Ku Klux Klan. I actually took them back to the Greek word kuklos, which is the circle of friends, and how it was an organization that even after our men laid down their arms and surrendered to the Yankee army, they were still dealing with a tyrannical army that had come down here and was brutalizing our people and sending hordes of commercialism and all these people to take advantage of our people. It was designed to specifically to be a secret society to look out after our people. And I asked another young lady earlier if she thought the core values from then to now really have changed any, as it's still an organization that looks out after our people.
Absolutely. The original Klan obviously was founded in 1865 in Pulaski, Tennessee. And the purpose of the Klan at that time was after South lost the war, white people in the South literally had no rights. They couldn't hold offices. They couldn't vote. They were basically prisoners in their own homeland. And the Klan was founded for the sole purpose to repel the Northern troops out of the South. And that was the purpose of the Klan. And it was the original white rights organization. They were formed to stop the genocide of the whites in the South. And when the Northern troops eventually was repelled from the North, then the Klan no longer was needed, because then whites were restored to the rightful heirs of citizenship. They were restored where they could vote, they could hold offices back, and so the Klan then was eventually disbanded because it has served its purpose. It was a really a political organization in a infamy standpoint, because the purpose was it to restore white rights. And the organization now holds those same concepts, that our purpose is for white rights, to promote a Christian civilization, a Christian America, and that is the purpose. So we believe that we hold those same desires, the same interests as the original Klan.
So originally, after they had surrendered to the Northern Army and they had laid down their arms, what did they have left except the model of the Klan that goes back to the Scottish idea of clans, your kith and kin, your people.
Right.
And so, and one of the models that those people used was lighting a cross.
Yes.
It was a, well, can you explain that a little?
Well, the lighting of the cross is a symbolism that Scottish use. If you look at your Presbyterian churches, if you look at your Methodist churches, they all have the symbolism of a cross on fire, lighting the cross. And the Klan just acts that out. And so it's a special ceremony where it's a symbolism of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for his people, dispelling darkness and lighting the world. And so the Klan performs that ritual. It's a sacred ritual for the Klan. And we always do that here at Congress every year on Labor Day weekend. And so we just practice that actual event, that special ceremony.
That's great. And it's open to anyone, or the ceremony itself is closed to Klan members alone?
We allow it to be open for everybody as long as you're a guest. If you come here to the conference, you can attend and witness. Obviously, the people that actually perform the cross lighting are members of the Klan. But anyone that shows up and our guests can participate and to view it, obviously not participate in the actual act, but can witness it and watch it. It's really a solemn act because it's in the evening time, it's out in the country, and it's a way that we can reconnect to our roots and allows everyone, even though they may not be participating, they're viewing it, and they can hopefully reconnect to their people.
It sounds great. The original Klan was originally disbanded by the great General Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Right.
According to the legend, I guess, or the story, is that the Klan was getting out of control because it was a secret group. It was getting unwily, basically, or unwielding. And he decided that it was in the best interest of the Southerners at that time to disrobe and to...
Yeah, that is some reports, and there may be an element of truth to that, but I believe that mainly the Klan did serve its purpose. It served its purpose when the Northern troops basically had repelled from the South, as the Southerners were able then to start governing again. And like anything else, when the Klan no longer really served served its purpose. Then, like anyone else, you may have some individuals that would took that act and no longer had those same ideas, and so they took the law in their own hands. But for the most part, the Klan, once it had achieved its purpose in repelling the Northern troops out of the South, Southerners were now able to vote, were able to hold office, starting to govern again. Then the Klan naturally was no longer needed, because the white man was now in control.
I see. Well, let me ask you, do you recognize that the original Klan maintained a membership through the years, let's say, but my understanding is that the original Klan ended at about after about the third year of its inception, about 1867, 1868.
Right.
Do you understand that it continued on through various smaller portions of the population all the way to the 1920s? Or
yeah, I mean, the Klan, even though nationally it was disbanded, I believe you always had maybe little elements of the Klan in operation. But it wasn't until the 1920s with Dr. Simmons in Stone Mountain, Georgia, that basically rekindled the idea of the Klan. And, of course, in 1920s, with Simmons on Stone Mountain, Georgia, when they started the Klan again, it was a rebirth of the 20s where they were focusing more on America, not just the South, but America in general, promoting Americanism. They knew that America was starting to get sidetracked, and so they started promoting Christianity, but Americanism in general.
World War One had just finished up, and right. They had seen the turmoil that World War One had caused in this country and all over the world. Even our own soldiers, our own World War One soldiers, weren't treated respectfully,
right,
and went without pay for years that they were deserved.
Right.
So do you think that had a lot to do with the rebirth?
Absolutely. Absolutely the Klan, if you can hear me now. Yeah. So absolutely the Klan in the 1920s, when they refocused in Americanism, they also concentrated into getting into your local communities, getting into organizations to be a benefit to your local communities, your churches, your civic organizations, and to be a part of the actual neighborhoods and part of the culture in your local towns and cities. And so the Klan of the 20s really focused on that. And that, I think, is an ideal that has continued into today's modern Klan, to get involved in your local communities and to be a part of it.
So I'm going to skip forward to now, because what I've perceived is that y'all are pushing forward. Y'all are moving forward. Y'all aren't hiding in a compound. Y'all aren't staying out away from action. Y'all have been moving forward as Christian people of white race, and
right,
wanting to push our ancestors and our heritage and our future. So what are y'all doing?
So what we are doing now is with the Knights Party, which we have been in existence since the mid-1950s. So the Knights now, we are located outside of Harrison, Arkansas. We have what's called the Soldiers of the Cross Bible Camp. It is a camp that houses the Knights Party. And the Knights Party gets involved nationwide. We have a publication called The Crusader that is a quarterly publication, as well as we have the internet presence of KKK.com. And then we also have members that are involved locally here, which we are in partnership with the Christian Revival Center, that have developed a new building called the Christian Revival Research and Development Center. And with the Knights, as well as the Christian Revival Center, we are having this massive building that's being built, which will house a museum, a library, classrooms, and the focus of that is to teach our youth, the teenagers, the people in the mid-20s, where they will be able to be properly influenced in history and propaganda, and to be able to go back to the local communities to be a person of influence.
Well, Jason, God bless y'all and your work. We love it and we support it. We're here to say we stand with you. Thank you for coming on the show. Folks, thank you for listening to the first hour of Blood River Radio. We'll be back at just a few minutes after a long break. It'll be a little bit, but we'll be back for the second hour. God bless y'all. Stay tuned.